today I got a New Year's message. I got a, managed to get a end of the year message. Uh-huh. And so today it's a New Year's message. And it's not about, say, new per se, but I think it's a word to send us into this next year. And it is the most important word at all. The Bible says, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so faith is a very important aspect of our lives. In Hebrews 11, it says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made up of things which do appear. Father, we thank you today for allowing us to be here once again, Lord, in your presence and in the presence of one another, worshiping and glorifying you, Lord. And truly again, you are worthy to be praised, and you alone deserve all honor and glory. Pray today, Lord, that you will help us. Father, you said where two or three are gathered together, that you are in the midst, and we do hope for your visitation today in your own way, and that you will teach us by your Spirit, because truly the Spirit is the teacher, not the preacher, but it's the Spirit. And so we pray that your Spirit will have the liberty to teach us and speak to our hearts as only you can. Touch me to get out of the way so that I won't be seen or heard. I have a tendency to get in the way. But I also ask that you touch those, Lord, that hear, that they might also get out of the way so we all can hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord into our hearts this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen. This is basically the definition of faith. If you can get the definition of faith, you can walk in faith. If you know what it means, you can walk in it. And so it's very important that we, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, develop a good baseline understanding of this matter concerning faith. It starts out and says that now faith. Mm-hmm. I just want to say here, I don't know if they meant to put it that way, but now is now. Mm-hmm. It didn't say then faith, or tomorrow faith.
Right.
It says now faith.
Yeah.
And so I want to start out by saying the operative word is that now faith.
All right.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not some hocus pocus thing that comes up from one's imagination. It's not something that you dream up and say, I've got faith in this and I've got faith in that and I'm going to make this happen and make that happen. It's not a hocus pocus thing. That's what you call, I believe it's called fleshly magic. When you start making things up and bringing things into existence and pulling things out of the air and that kind of thing. And folks say, that's my faith. I call it magic and I call it fleshly magic. Now, you say, well, where did you get that from? Well, we are made in the image of God. The problem is we are fallen. But we still have certain attributes. And as bad as this world is, and as ugly as the things, some of the things are we see, we still can see remnants of beauty of God's creation.
Yes.
And so there still is something here. And if we're not careful, see, God is already, the flesh is cursed. And, you know, in my flesh, Paul said, well, no good thing. And so we have to be very careful that we understand what God is doing. And when we decide to go and make something happen and get this house and grab this and all of this and do it, that's fleshly magic. You got to be very careful with that. Magic is sleight of hand. To its core, it's very deceptive. So we got to be careful. Faith has a foundation. A man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, it is not thy hold on Christ that saves thee, it is Christ.
All right.
It is not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not even thy faith in Christ that saves thee, though that be an instrument. It is Christ's blood and merit. That's what saves you. Faith just lays hold of you. But it's a person that does the saving. Jesus saves. It says he shall save his people from their sin. It didn't say faith will save the people. He said he will save his people from their sins. So we've got to, first of all, recognize and remember that it's a person that we look to. We cannot minimize Jesus and then replace him with some other thing and say, now I've got it. Now, Lord, as we want to do, is to say, Lord, I thank you, and I'm going to go on and do this. If I get in trouble, I'll call you.
I got it.
If it gets out of hand, I'll let you know I need you.
Yeah.
Look, you know, you need him all the time. And so you can't be separating this out and expect that he's going to come like some lappy dog when you say, hey, boy, come and help me now. I'm in a little bit of trouble now. That's not how that works. It is Christ that saves you. All faith does is it lays hold of it. He's given us the vehicle of faith in order to obtain and to grab these things. Faith, therefore, is not something mysterious at all. It is that which looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. You look to him by faith. The big reason that faith carries such an air of contradiction and mystery and doubt is that there is not enough looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find a doctrine that tells you that you can claim what you want. You can just claim it and it's yours. I find that that does not always work, though sometimes it does. So I'm not going to negate that it doesn't work. Sometimes it may actually work, but that's the wrong thing. The object is the thing that you're so-called claiming. We should be claiming more Christ, more Jesus, more Lord, more God in my life, and not claiming a Maserati. Oh, stop preaching and don't meddling already. It's early. It's more Christ. You need to know this. We need to be looking to Jesus, y'all. In this new year, look to him. Look to him. I'm a mess. I know I'm a mess. I know that. But don't hate me for it. Pray for me. Tell Jesus on me. My wife does it often. She tells Daddy on me. You know? And I go, what's going on? Why? You know? And Dad starts getting it straight. The Lord can take care of many of our issues. Matter of fact, all of our issues. If we look to him. Amen. Dr. J. Oswald Sanders of the China Mission, which is now called the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, said this. He says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Wow. What in the world is that? Treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Well, what scripture is that? Well, here's one scripture. The Bible says we have been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We right now sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's what the scripture says. But you say, well, I'm sitting in this chair. Well, see, you're not looking at it by faith. But we are sitting together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. See, if we're not careful, we'll come back down to the earth, and we'll come back down and we'll look at it from the fleshly viewpoint and go, that sounds contradictory. Well, the flesh will always contradict the Word of God. Always. So I can tell you that the Word of God is true. So if you run into a contradiction, it's not the Word that ran off the rail. You ran off the rail. You got to take this thing as true.
Yeah.
the word of God is true. It's God, yes. And it's God's word.
Yes.
God cannot lie, can he?
No.
This is God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Then God cannot lie.
No.
It seems a little outlandish because we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word for substance is hypostasis. This is a scientific term. It's the opposite of hypothesis, which is a theory. Faith is the opposite of a good guess. A hypothesis is a good guess. But faith is the opposite of that. And it's a scientific term. Faith is that which rests upon facts. The late Dr. J. Vernon McGee wrote this. In chemistry, it would be the chemical which settles at the bottom of the test tube after you have made an experiment. You know, you're looking for something in the substance in the laboratory, and you reach all this together, and you shake it up, and you put the fire under it, and then you let it cool, and you're looking for that substance to settle. That's where it would be. Out of all of that stuff, they say that's the stuff that settles at the bottom of the test tube. Dr. A.T. Robertson translates substance as title deed. A title deed is the paper that shows ownership. Substance is like the title deed. It's the substance. And the substance is then the word of God. The title deed is the substance, and that is the word of God. If your faith does not rest upon the word of God, it is not biblical faith at all. It has to rest upon what God says. If you want to offer solutions, find it in the word of God. If you want me to listen to you, come to me with the scriptures. But if you come to me out your head, I hear you, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to do something based upon what comes out of your head. Because your head ain't no better than my head. And my head can get crazy, and if I know mine get crazy, yours can get crazy too. So come with the word. Listen, nothing excites me more when you come to me quoting the word of God. I'm about to kick the bottom out of something where we sit. When you start quoting the word, you don't see my feet, but my legs be going like this, and I'm listening, and it's just such a wonderful thing to hear a person come to me and start talking about the word of God, even with a question concerning the word of God. I'm like, I got a question about the Bible. I get excited. Yeah. What's the question? Let's talk about this, right? I might not have the answer, but I know who does. The Lord has the answer. So it must rest upon the word of God. It means to believe God. It means to believe God. Basic and foremost. The question is whether you believe God or not. You might see something in me that you don't like, but you need to look in the scriptures if you're going to come to me about it.
Okay.
It's not that I'm going to reject you. I mean, probably you'll hurt my feelings too, you know, but still, that's not scripture, see. You know, folks get their feelings hurt, you know, the preachers, I'm not made of stone. It's criticism or something like that, you know, but if you really want to see a change, take the time to find it in the Word. And then come on with it. Show it to me in the Word. I'll go and look it up and read on it. I promise you, I will. So the question is whether you believe God or not. We can't claim an intellectual problem as an excuse for not believing God's word. You can't say, well, I intellectually can't get to that. I just can't get my mind around it. There's a lot that we can't get our mind around concerning the word of God. But it doesn't make it any less true. My mom, I used to talk to mom from time, and she'd tell me something. I said, I didn't know that. She said, Leroy, it's enough. You don't know the style of New World. And just because we can't get our mind around it, neither you nor I are smarter than God. You're not. It's not our intellect that keeps us from believing God, y'all. It's sin. We have a heart problem. That's what gets in the way. It is the heart that needs to believe. Romans 10:10 states, it is the heart that believeth unto righteousness. It's the heart that believes unto righteousness. Genesis 15:6 tells us that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It is believing God where this righteousness came with Abraham. When you're ready to give up your sin, the Holy Spirit will make real to you the Word of God. If you're fighting the Word, struggling with the Word, it's a sin issue. I want what I want. And it is not matching up with what I want, so we're fighting. We have a sin problem. And when you're ready to give that up, then the Holy Spirit is ready to begin to teach you the Word of God. You must take him at his word and put the word in the test tube of life and prove that his word is real.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes. Yes.
Take him at his word and put his word in the test tube of life. Now, listen, take it out here and take it home with you.
Yes.
And then you take it and you apply it to whatever situation you face. And listen, there are plenty of things that we can apply the word to that we basically don't apply it to. There are plenty of things we can apply the word to. Because number one, what we're going to need is this thing called patience. Scripture calls it long suffering. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We need it to come forth. We need it to mature in us. If we're all born in the kingdom of God with the fruit of the Spirit in us. But that fruit must mature in us. It must then begin to grow and mature and become full, come into bloom and become full in us. But if we don't allow it, it's going to continue to be in its infancy. And we have a lot of folks walking around, been going to church for 10 years, still calling themselves baby Christians. That almost hurt my feelings. How long have you been going to church? 10 years. If you know I'm a baby Christian. Why are you a baby Christian if you've been going to church for 10 years? Man, you should be advising me about the word by now after 10 years. And you know why? Because of the emotional response rather than a biblical response. Yeah. Yeah. Make me mad. Yeah. I tell you what, you say it, let them say it one more time. I got something for them. Mm-hmm. They come back in with that mess again, I got something for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than saying, Lord, tell God on me. Did you hear what they just said? Did you hear that, Lord? What does your word tell me about this? And it says, well, first of all, you should pray for him. Oh, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that you should pray for him. Me and the Lord had many arguments about that pray for him stuff.
Yeah.
I lose them all, but I still go, man, you know, that's why I hate to come to you with this stuff, because you're always talking about your word. I said that to him one time. You're always talking about your word, what the word say, you know. I'm talking about what they said.
But what the word
say? But what the word says. And listen, the solution is in the word. If somebody upsets you, you go to the word. Be long in suffering and be quick to stay silent. The Bible says we should kind of be silent. Be slow to speak. I know it upsets you. Now I know. I'm not saying that these things don't upset you. I know that it does. But that might not be the right response for you or for them. Mm-hmm. It's two of y'all involved.
Yes,
so then you're going to say something back, and you're going to cut back. Then you're going to go to the Lord. He's going to say, now you got to go and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're already mad.
Yeah,
you're already mad. Now you got to go say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Now that's, you know, a double win.
Double work, yeah.
First of all, you did not wait and consult the Lord. You're already mad. And then you say something to him and, you know, hurt him or say something. Now you got to go back and apologize. When you just went to the word at the very beginning and by faith, trusted God's word and then do what his word said, you'll be in the clear. But y'all, we keep going back to the old man. We keep going back to the old way. And it all it does is it gives us more and more trouble, more problems. We must take him at his word. The scripture goes on and says that it is the evidence of things not seen. That should even be in the same sentence, evidence and then things not seen, you know, basically evidence is seen.
Yeah.
If we have seen that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and that's scientific, starts out, it is scientific. But the second word used here is evidence. And in the Greek word is illikos, and that's a legal term. It's a legal term. Evidence that is accepted for conviction. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's not, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do the best I can to try it. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not a hope so. Faith is substance. And faith is evidence. Faith is substance. And faith is evidence. Substance for the scientific mind and evidence for the legal mind. Substance for the scientific mind and evidence for the legal mind. And so God is providing something here for us to work with. If you got a scientific issue, it answers scientifically. Uh-huh. If you got a legal issue, it answers legally. It's scientific and it's legal. It's a wonderful thing that he's done. If you're sitting right now, you exhibited a certain level of faith in the chair that you sat on.
Yeah.
Some men may say that the chair is faithful. Therefore, we will honor and worship it. Or some worship nature and rocks and trees and the sun and the moon, because the sun is faithful and the moon is faithful. You know, that kind of thing. But God wants you to have faith in him and him alone who created these things. He wants us to have faith in him who created these things. Folks have said to me, you know, Leroy, I'm really crushed, you know. I have faith in you. Well, I appreciate what you're trying to say. And I recognize that you're trying to say that you have confidence in my ability in some ways and some things. But you really must have faith in God. Because, y'all, I'm a man. I don't want to let you down, but I will. And it's a terrible thing to promise, but I promise you from a sad place that I will let you down. It's just a matter of, not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Because I'm a man. I'm not God. I'm a man, just like Oliver, just like you, just like the man in the back. I'm a man. So, you know, when you put a man on a pedestal, look out. He's going to sure enough let you down. And don't put him too high because it hurts when he falls. And then a lot of, you ever notice a big tree, when it falls in the forest, it takes a lot of little saplings along with it. A lot of the ones that are trying to come up, trying to grow, that big tree hits and it comes down and it takes a lot of little trees that are trying to get started. And so do not put a man on a pedestal, y'all.
Amen.
Don't worship me. Listen. Some men love worship. Men. They love me. And I want you to love me. I'm not saying don't love me, but I'm saying y'all don't worship me. Y'all pray for me. I need y'all to pray for me. I don't know. Some folks want their preachers, but then one man confessed to his congregation like this, they got rid of him. They don't want no preacher, no weak preacher. Well, that's all there is weak preachers.
Yeah.
All of them weak.
All of them
got issues.
Yeah.
One man said everybody had to get saved from something.
Yeah.
If they didn't drink or smoke or do some crazy sin, they had to get saved from the goody goodiness. But everybody has to get saved.
Amen.
Everyone must be born again.
Yeah.
And so I guess the Lord has me pulling over to say this to you. Yes, I understand the scripture says, give honor where honor is due. Thank you for it. Thank you for the honor. But pray for me still.
Yeah, man. Amen.
Because we haven't arrived yet.
Amen.
And if you think I'm ahead of you, I ain't that far ahead of you. I ain't that far ahead of you. And listen, preachers fall all the time. They fall all the time. They do some of the craziest things that you would ever imagine for a preacher to do. You'd expect the Joe the Thug to do it on the street. But when the preacher do it, everybody hurt and disappointed. And it's like, well, he's a man. Y'all should have prayed for him and caused him to take the, you know, give account. He needs to be accountable. You see, accountable for the to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that man starts slipping off and slipping off of the scriptures, did y'all see that happen? Y'all need to come and help me.
Yeah.
Because I've got in trouble. See, I'm a man. This is not about me, but this part is. But let's go for you too. If I come to you with the scriptures, don't get mad at me.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me. Because it's the scriptures that we really need to be living by. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And so our lives must be patterned. If you are a Christian, must be patterned by the word of God. And it must be visible. I must be able to look at you and tell that the word of God is your guide. And the world must be able to look at you and tell that the word of God is your guide. Yeah, if a man lives by the word of God, men, women are, many women are afraid to approach you, you know that. You live by the word. They might look at you, but they're kind of scared, so they don't. But if you don't live by the word, they will push up on you so quick. Hey, big boy, what you doing tonight?
Amen.
Well, I'm going home to my wife. I'm going home to my wife.
Amen. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
Well, on the way home to your wife, why don't we stop over?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're not living by the word, you find yourself in a situation not going to be able to look your wife in the eye when you get home. Maybe avoiding her, making arguments and making up stuff. And,
Man. Leave the lights on for you. That's
the Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What, Father?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be thankful for the things that are made, but worship the one that made them. I thank God for my home, for my car, my clothing and all of that, but I thank God for him.
Yeah.
I had a brother, I got a job, you know, I got a promotion. Yeah, big cheese. You finally made it, the big cheese. Look at the big cheese. I said, hey, hold up. I said, men gave me this job. And men can take it away. And guess what? They took it away. Yes, they did. It's called a demotion. They took it right away. But thank God I wasn't caught up in that job.
That's right.
Because if I let that job define me, it would have destroyed me. And afterwards, folks say, you know, I'm surprised. Look like you landed on your feet. Look like you handled this just fine. I was fine. Mm-hmm. I was saying good morning to everybody. Yeah. How you doing? Smiling. They say, you know what? You look younger. Look like you lost some gray hair. I said, I scream. Did me a favor to get me out of that pressure cooker. See?
Yeah.
And so it didn't define me. I did what I did. There's more to the story, but you know, you can't let these things define them. Thank God for the things that he does, but don't worship those things.
Yeah,
so just like you got him, you can lose him.
Amen.
Just like you got him, you can lose him. It goes on and says, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. Now, the elders mentioned are not referring to a group of old people or New Testament church elders, but it was talking about the Old Testament fathers or the elders. When Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Moses believed God, it was not a leap in the dark or a hope so venture. Their faith rested upon evidence. Noah built the ark by faith. He had faith in God that he had walked with for many years when he witnessed God's work even before the building of the ark. He tried God. He walked and trusted and believed God. Genesis 6:9 says that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. He didn't just start walking when the ark showed up.
Right.
He was walking with God before that.
Yeah.
How else are you going to believe if you hadn't already tried this thing?
Okay.
You've got to learn to try God.
Yes, yes,
unfortunate, the word try is unfortunate, but you got to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You got to try God.
Yeah.
You have got to turn to the word of God in some circumstances and situations in your life and say, Lord, your word says this about this.
Right.
Now, Lord, I bring this circumstance
yeah.
to you, and I rest in you and
yeah.
trust you, oh God,
yeah.
to take care of it. Then you need to go sit down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Stop trying to make it happen, because you're going to mess it up just as sure as you put your hands on it. The Lord said, that's why I don't, you know, I ask them about it. That's why I don't tell people things no sooner than I do, because they're going to get their hands in it and mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think that God is late. But no, he's kindly.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you, all of them, you give them too much ahead of time, you're going to get started on it and have it all messed up and all
yeah.
tied up in a knot. God said, nah, I got something else I got to deal with.
Uh-huh.
But he gives it to you in a timely manner.
Yeah.
He always answers. He always responds.
Oh, yeah.
He does not leave your prayers unanswered. Might not come as quick as you want because it's hurting,
right.
but he
right.
always answers. Why?
Yeah.
Because he is faithful.
Yeah.
He's a faithful God. If you belong to him, he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. Amen.
Amen.
Enoch was also witnessed in Genesis 5:22. Through 24, as having walked with God. You see that? Walked with God. And God took him. But before God took him, Hebrews 11:5 states that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. So walking with God pleases him.
Amen.
If you walk with God, it pleases him.
Yeah.
And so what is walking with God? You need to go and find out what that is. But I say you begin to believe God in your life. You believe God and you're going about in life. There are folks that say, call it this and name it this and call it this and name it that. That's magic. God has already told you what to call. He's already told you what the name is. He's already put everything in place. The Bible says everything needful for life and godliness.
Mm-hmm.
He's already given us all
yeah.
things needful
yeah.
for life and godliness. He has supplied us
Amen.
With everything that we need to live in
yeah.
accordance with him and his word. And so the only thing left to do is to trust and believe him and to walk in the word. Is to walk away from something that's standing in between you and him. Whatever that is.
Amen.
I'll say that again.
Oh.
To walk away from something that is standing in between you and him.
Yeah.
Oh, you say you need an example. Okay. You got one. Going back to my little pothead days.
Mm-hmm.
Backslid. Back out there. Coming back, started back reading the word again, getting refreshed, began to grow closer to the Lord again. Closer, just reading his word
mm-hmm.
every morning, reading his word, growing closer, remembering what it was like when I first read his word, getting closer and closer and closer to him. And I say, Lord, this is so good. Now, Lord, I want a hug from you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He said, I can't do that. I'm like, why, Lord? And he pointed at my Now this is in my head, I understand. But I understood. He said, because that was in the way.
Amen.
You know, oh, yeah. I'll get back to you, Lord. Because that meant a lot to me. But I had to, after about a week, realize a relationship and a closeness to Him is worth more to me than this stuff.
Right. Right. Amen. Amen.
Then I had to pray for strength. Help me, Lord, to walk away from this. And He did. And I got my hug. And we've been hugging and loving on each other since then.
Amen.
Called me into the ministry, y'all.
Amen.
Called me into the ministry. From that day to this day, I've been preaching the word of God. 1985. Don't tell me that God can't teach you.
Amen. Amen.
1985, but He required this thing from standing between me and Him.
Uh-huh.
There's no in the way in the world I could stand up here and be poking on the joint at the same time.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
No way. No way. That had to go.
Yeah.
It had to be clean.
Yeah.
And there are many other things I can't do.
Right.
I don't want to do them, but I should not do them. And the scripture tells me very plainly what those things are. And it's very costly for me to do the work. If I do them, I'm ready to leave. You see? And there's some things in the word that tells you that you've got to read it.
Yeah.
And if you have trouble reading, I'll tell you again, they've already recorded it for you, and they'll read it for you.
Amen.
If you got an MP3 player, they've got an MP3. If you got a CD player, they've got a new CD. If you still got an old cassette player, you can get a whole set for about $2. The whole body. Old and New Testament.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you will not be able to give an excuse that I could not read the word, because blind people read the word, but they listen to it. They listen to it, and they call it reading. And I had a friend that said, you know, I was reading in the scripture this morning. I'm going, but I understood that he listened to the scriptures. You see? And so even blind people read the scriptures. You've got your sight and don't read the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of situation is that going to be when you stand before the Lord? In Genesis 12, God called Abraham out of the homeland, out of his own homeland of Ur of the Chaldees, to go to a land yet unseen, only that God promised to show him when he got there, and he promised to reward him. And in Genesis 12:4, Abram's faith was apparent. When we read this, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. His faith was seen when he acted. You want to see faith? Act on the word.
Yeah.
That's faith in operation. If you want to see faith, do what the word of God says. That is faith in action. You can see faith when you see a person walking according to the word of God. That's how you see faith.
Amen.
And so it was apparent to him. And then in Genesis 15:6, it says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God put righteousness on his account, not because of his good works, but because he believed God.
Yeah.
The elders obtained a good report, and they did it by faith. Listen, it is the belief in God. It's believing God where the righteousness, the door of righteousness is open. Of course, Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And so the very first belief that any person must do is to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. So if you accept Him and believe Him and accept that He is the Son of God and that He came and He died for your sins, that He was buried for your sins for 3 days in the grave and rose on the third day and then walked around and was seen up to 120 in 120 days or so, 40 days, he was seen walking around teaching the disciples and then ascended up into heaven. If you believe that, you, my friend, will be considered saved.
Amen.
Yeah. Because we are Christians, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. not your righteousness and not your works.
That's right.
Not what you do, but who you are.
That's right.
It's who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
The elders obtained a good report. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand. That's the first thing. Through faith we understand. And that's operative here. It is through faith that we understand. To understand, and that's the Greek word noeo, which means to comprehend. It's to be able to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's to perceive something. Listen, in order to comprehend and perceive the things of God, it must be seen by faith. You are not going to uncover this thing through your natural mind, through your natural learning. No book in the world will reveal God to you. Only God can reveal himself to you. And we receive it through faith. We understand spiritual things through faith. We understand or perceive that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Worlds, in this verse, is the Greek word aion, which means ages. Ages, and the primary focus of the word world or ages is not so much that of actual length of a period, but it is of a period marked by spiritual or moral characteristics. So this happens, see, and that happens. For example, Adam and Eve were created in innocence. They were created in innocence, so they existed in the age of the world of innocence. They existed during the age of the world of innocence. It was an innocent world, and it was that age. The Jews existed during the age of the world of law. And now we live in the age of grace. So through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. And that framed, again, is a word which means if the worlds were complete, that means that the worlds were thoroughly or perfectly joined together. The worlds or the ages. That means he knitted the different ages together and brought them on down. And even though it's over centuries and centuries of time, the worlds or the age of innocence, the age, you know, Noah's age and the age, antediluvian age before, and all these ages of they were put together and knitted together by the word of God. This could read, the ages were set up by the word of God. By the word of God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We read in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is quick and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the word of God is living and it is energetic. It lives and it is energetic. It's not like our word. Our word is pretty much dead.
Mm-hmm.
I want a new car. I want a new car. Get a job and buy one. I'm going to confess a new car. You got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Get a job. Now stop that stuff, man. They're going to come and take it back. I knew people lost their whole house with that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
They got the house, but then they couldn't pay for it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Praise God, I got my house. I'm watching them. Showing them they couldn't pay for the house. All right now. The word of God is living. It's energetic. It was this living, energetic word that framed or built these worlds. It was alive when he spoke it. The worlds of the universe were framed. That is, they were adjusted and they were disposed into a wise and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful order by the word of God.
Amen.
He ordered them in such a wonderful, beautiful way that he did it. The word of God there, as we say, by the word of God, it's another word. It's not the word that we find in John 1 that it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That was logos. This word, by the word of God, is rhema.
Rhema.
That's me and Andy's favorite word, rhema.
Rhema.
You know, it's rhema. It's rhema. and in, as in Hebrews 1:3, rhema signifies a spoken word. It's a spoken word. The reference is to God's imperial fiat. That means something that is legally binding. It's his command, the rhema. It comes from God. It's a command, his effectual command. As throughout Genesis 1, God said, the manifestation of his invincible will, let light be, and light was. For he spake it, and it was done.
Yeah.
This is the God I'm talking about. He spake it, and it was done. Sometimes God may speak from the pulpit and will say something that'll make you almost jump up out your seat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You say, what? Now, I know Pastor Leroy wasn't in my kitchen this morning. How do you know about this? Where did this come from? I don't. But God knows you, and he knows your situation. That's what I said last week. Y'all, God can see in the dark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, turn the lights out if you want, but God can see in the dark. You can't hide from him.
Oh, yeah.
Through faith, verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's an odd statement. It's very interesting because whatever God made in the beginning, he made from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so God is the only one that can find building material in nothing.
Hallelujah.
Nothing to us is something with God. But put another way, God is not limited by nothing.
Amen.
That grammar was good words. He is not limited by nothing. So by faith, we can find something in nothing if the nothing or the something is sanctioned by the word of God.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Awesome.
He's not limited by nothing. He's the only one that can find. Listen, you can look in your situation and say, I don't see nothing. Well, you can check with God.
Yeah.
Because he could go into nothing and find something.
Uh-huh.
He's the only one that could go into nothing and find something.
Yeah.
I know it gets hairy and it gets scary, but we're talking about a God who has a word that is energetic and that is living and is powerful. He can look in your nothing and still find something.
Yeah, yeah.
He can build something out of your nothing and answer your prayer and answer your need. That's what this God can do. That's the faith I'm talking about. You need a car, or you need a home, you talk to him about which way do I go with it.
Uh-huh.
And he might say, well, I want you to begin to serve at the mission.
Well,
I want you to begin to give to this family down the street.
Yeah.
You want to say, God, what they got to do with a home? You go and do what he said do.
Yeah.
And then he'll begin to bless you.
Yes, he will.
The scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. It's the law of giving.
Yeah.
Of giving. You need something, you need to give something.
Yeah.
If you're so stingy, you're so stingy, that you keep holding on, but you want to get something and be something, you're not going nowhere fast.
Yeah.
That's right. You got to let it go, you got to let it go, you got to let it go. You got to learn to give.
Yeah.
But they just want my stuff. Yeah, they do, but you want something too.
That's right.
And then quit bothering them homeless people talking about, I know they're going down to a liquor store. If God tell you to give, give it to them and shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And you know, if I give them, I say, God bless you.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them. God bless you.
Bless you.
I gave something to one man. Lord said, give him half of what's in your pocket. That was my impression. I gave him half. I say, that's yours. He said, you giving this to me? I said, I'm giving it to you. He said, I can do anything I want with it. So you can do anything you want. He was half drunk when I gave it to him. I said, you can do anything you want to do. He said, you know, boy, that's wrong. Because most of the time people give something, they want to kind of tell you how to spend the money. And see, y'all don't do, just give.
Yeah.
The scripture says we should give with simplicity.
Yeah.
And giving is just one of the many ways that God can bless you.
That's right.
You can give a good word. Some people don't have money, y'all.
Yeah.
Some people don't have money. But you got a word. Mm-hmm. You got a life. You can help. You can give. If you want something, I say, go down and do such and such and such. Just do it. Say, well, I was praying for a house, but I guess I better go and deliver this rice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take the rice.
Take the rice.
Take the rice. Just do what he tells you to do. And just let you go. I can't see how he's going to turn rice into a house. But how did he turn the 5 loaves and the few fish and fed 5,000 people? Yes, he did. He did. 5 loaves and a few fish and fed 5,000. 4 loaves and another few fish, 7,000. And had more left over than he started with. This is the God that we serve, y'all. And if you can't get your head around it, it's not because he can't do it. It's because of sin in you.
Yeah.
It's because of unbelief.
Yeah.
You're like, man, you got to ask me to believe something that I can't see. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly what I'm saying. Just because you don't see it, don't mean that it's not there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your house might be in that bag of rice. Might be in that apple pie. He just wants you to obey him, no? And stop being so stingy.
Glory to God.
Let it go. You can't take it with you. Yeah. I've never seen a hearse behind a, you know, a U-Haul behind a hearse.
Glory to God.
All that stuff stays there anyway. You might as well get the use out of it. And not just eat the rice that you get. Give it away. Hallelujah. Okay, so the problem is many of us today is when Christ has come to us, we ought to be able to rest in God and lay hold of him.
Yeah.
When the Christ has come. But we're not able to do that sometimes when we haven't been doing it all along. Mm-hmm. It's such a new experience for us that it's very difficult to do. So you got to begin to believe God and begin to try him. And I like to say practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because anything you practice, you get better at it.
Yeah.
You get better and better and better. I've missed him many times. Thought it was him. Went to the place, stood around, and where nobody said there but me. Well, okay, Lord, I don't even know what that was about. I'm going to stand around a few more minutes. And I don't see nobody coming. I'm leaving now, Lord. Okay, amen. I don't know if it was to test obedience or what, but, you know, maybe it was him and maybe I missed him. I don't know. But you got to practice that so you can recognize the promptings of the Spirit. Listen, so you mean does God speak to you? Do you hear it? Well, yes, he does speak to me, but he speaks to me by his Spirit.
Yeah.
And if you belong to Christ, then the Spirit is inside of you.
Oh, yeah.
And so the information comes from the inside of you up. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
You say, well, it came to my mind. Yeah, it came to your mind from the Spirit inside of you.
Yeah.
That's how this works. And you get a prompting. I think I want to, I feel like the Lord wants me to do this. If you go talk to a person that's not walking in the Spirit, they'll talk you out of that thing.
Oh, yeah.
They say, that is stupid. Amen. Well, where'd you get this from? I believe God is telling me. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, did you hear a voice? No. Did he speak audibly? No. But did he appear to you? Well, no. Then how do you know that it's him? Just do what he says. You ain't got to be talking to folks about it. Tell them about it after he blesses.
Yeah.
Amen.
After. Amen. If you learn to trust him when the sun is shining, it's easier to trust him and in the day when there's dark and lowering clouds in the sky, and you are in one of life's storms. And as you probably already know, the storms of life do come.
Oh, yeah.
But you learn to trust him when the sun is shining.
Yeah.
You learn to trust him in the simpler things, which aren't really simple, because if you're trusting him, it's not simple. And you learn to trust him when all the light is shining. So when it gets dark, you can say, oh, yeah, I know. I've got a Lord that delivered me 4 times before.
Yeah.
And he'll deliver me now.
Yes, sir.
The devil is a liar.
Yeah.
Think for a minute on one of the most pressing issues in your life. Think for a minute. on one of the most precious issues in your life. Just a moment. Now I want you to rest in God. Give it to Him. He wants us today to not only be saved through faith, but He also wants us to walk by faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christ died to save us. We took back in faith to Him. We look back in faith to Him. If we look at Him, we look back to the faith that He gave us. But now we walk daily. We should walk daily by faith. And then we look up to Him, the living Christ. And so when He saved us, we look back to Him for the faith that He has given us, because that's what you get when you get saved. And then we look daily, and we must daily walk by faith. And then we must also look up to Him, the living Christ. That gets right down to where the rubber meets the road. That is for right now. Wherever you're going today, go by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's how God wants us to live this life, by faith. He will eventually call you to do something that will make you so terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To do it. He's going to take care of it. If you do it. If you do it. Oh, praise the Lord. This is our communion Sunday.
Amen.
First of all, let's give the Lord a hand for us.
Yeah.
He came to us today, our New Year's Day message, that we should go from this point forward into the new year walking by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
I know it looks impossible, but you'll trust me.